This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
I want to read you this and just let it sit with you. So this is something that the Queensland Minister for Education said in 1976. Teachers who participate in homosexual and lesbian groups should not assume they will be employed by the Education Department upon graduation from college. That's right. Before the 1980s, Australian teachers could be banned for being gay. And this week's landmark Australian Law Reform Commission report on religious education institutions and discrimination has called for laws to be clarified so religious schools nationwide can't fire or refuse to hire teachers on the basis of their sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, marital status, or pregnancy. So Jessica Gerrard is an associate professor at the University of Melbourne, has been researching this topic. Jessica, welcome to Joy Drive.
Good afternoon.
Now, what have you found in your research relating to the Australian Law Reform Commission's report?
So the research that I've been doing has been tackling this very contemporary issues through looking at it historically and trying to understand how it is that gender and sexuality have become such significant wedge issues in Australian politics. And so we tracked, myself and a colleague, Archie Thomas, we tracked some of the disputes around the employment of gay teachers in the 1970s and 1980s in public schools to shed some light on the ways in which gay teachers, queer teachers, and now trans teachers have become these kind of points of contestation around which conservative religious forces can claim an ability to discriminate.
Why do you think these religious forces are focusing on LGBTQI+ teachers?
Look, I think that the first thing to say is that, of course, it's not all religions and certainly not all people who are, you know, who have faith. It is some people within those communities who are deploying religion as a means to advance a highly retrograde position around gender and sexuality. The argument that we make is that teachers are often seen as being these moral harbingers of the future. You know, they're meant to kind of exemplify what we want the future of the nation to look like. And if you're someone who thinks the future of the nation should look like heterosexual families and not much else, then gay teachers put that under threat. And so what we're suggesting is an urgent need to really attend to these histories as a way to think through this current moment, to understand that it's not just about what's happening right now, but a longer history around which gender and sexuality has such an important part to play.
As you were saying that, I was just thinking to myself, my goodness, you know, if you look at the planet at the moment, there are so many more important things that we could be focusing on than, you know, whether someone is LGBTIQ+, teaching our kids. But notions of discrimination, I mean, they're not new. And the report from the Australian Law Reform Commission provides an opportunity to address the harm done to queer teachers and students by discriminatory laws. What needs to change?
Well, at the moment, religious schools are exempt from anti-discrimination laws. And to put it simply, that exemption needs to go. It's a significant curtailment of the ability of those laws to actually have effect. There are some who try to make a case around, well, you know, if students aren't discriminated against, like, you know, perhaps that would be good enough. But I think to pit teachers and students as separate people is really dangerous, because I can't imagine a school that actively discriminates against queer staff as being an opening, welcoming, safe space for queer students.
Definitely not. Now, there's substantial evidence of LGBTQI+ teachers experiencing alienation, isolation and exclusion at work in religious schools, and reporting of verbal and physical abuse directed at LGBTIQ+ students in schools. The argument most often discussed is the rights of the child, but where do the rights of the educator sit?
Yeah, I think they're actually deeply connected, because I think the rights of the child and educator is one of the same, which gets to the point of, well, it's not entirely one of the same, but they're deeply interconnected, because this is about human rights and how we understand humanity and the capacity to exist. And so to think about teachers and their relationship with students, it's essential to think about their interconnections and how teachers' rights are a part of how we think about young people and children and their rights as well.
We're chatting with Jessica Gerard, Associate Professor of Education at the University of Melbourne, about a new report that wants to protect LGBTQIA plus teachers at religious schools. Jess, did religious school leaders need to undergo training, do you think?
Oh, look, I don't know. I don't know if this is something that training can solve. I think that there is yes, of course, that would be one thing that could be undertaken. I think that there is a cultural issue here. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Scott Morrison, our former PM, was defending, while he was PM, sending his kids to a private religious school to avoid what he called as skin-curling conversations about gender and sexuality. You know, there's a really significant anti-queer culture that's not just in Australia, it is a global one, and it's something that needs to be addressed.
Now, the report has prepared a list of recommendations, including exemptions to anti-discrimination laws. So should there be equal weight given to, say, must not discriminate against a student on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, marital or relationship status, or pregnancy, and must not discriminate against a member or of staff on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, marital or relationship status, or pregnancy?
Yes, I mean, I think that the case that's been put is very clear, and it's very plainly the lived reality of what the initial anti-discrimination laws were intended to do. We're in a situation where some schools, government schools, are already beholden to these laws, and some other schools are not. And just to note that the Australian education system is quite unique. We have quite a significant number of students, one third attending private schooling. The vast majority of those schools are religious. Now, not all of them would be discriminating. Some of them are. And that is an unusual situation. We also have a private schooling sector that receives significant public funds. So there's an issue here around the responsibilities of those schools and the way in which they are understood as public institutions in many ways, given that they receive funds and they're educating such a huge proportion of our young people.
Exactly. Now, Jessica, before we let you go, I'm going to text in saying, miss doing Jess's subjects at uni. She's awesome.
Oh, that's very delightful.
How's that? That'll make you day.
I come on more often if I get texts like that.
You're more than welcome. Great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Thanks very much.
That is Jessica Gerard, Associate Professor in Education at the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.